This morning we continue to direct your attention to Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 through 19, the angelic worship segment number 24. The Word of God is a great prize, and it is the true wealth of the individual believer. It is always gratifying to find that the people of God who are in touch with this ministry in one way or another have a sense of receiving something special, something out of the ordinary when they listen to what is said from the sermonic material, the exposition of the Word of God. This was demonstrated again yesterday. That magnificent choral group that sang for us right out of the Myers Musical Center quality people. Kevin Guess is a very appreciative person, and you saw what he's big, how big he is. And when he hugs you, you've done been hugged. And to come up and say, we're grateful for what we get from Berean Church. We live 65 miles away, but we're in touch with the Word of God. Another family who's here lives at a distance now. After the banquet, said to me, we've been getting some of the unedited tapes on the current series in Colossians, and we have been reminded again about the church in Laodicea. And the point that is so important about this church, and it did have a lampstand. It was one of the seven lampstands that Jesus stood and said, you are one of my churches. And if you do not remain faithful to me, I'm going to shut you down. I'm going to take your lampstand and knock it over. And for some of these churches, that did happen. But the point of that is that Laodicea was also one of the genuine churches of Christ. Problem was, they were deep into carnality. And so this man said, you know, last Sunday, our preacher got up and he talked about the Laodicean church, how these unsaved people needed to come to the knowledge of Christ. So after the service, we went up to him, he and his wife, and said, the Laodiceans were not unsaved people. They were Christians out of fellowship with God. That was the reason that Christ is standing knocking at the heart's door and saying, come on back, open it up to me, let me back into your life. And it is not unbelievers. Well, here is the seminary graduate saying, no, you're wrong, those are unbelievers. So don't take too lightly when you get the great perspective on the Word of God that is really the truth. Our friends went through several writers and people like Dr. Walford, seminary, say, all these men, they're the great scholars of the Word of God. They all uniformly say that church was Christians, but out of touch. And the man wasn't fazed. So your congregation will be colored by what comes out of the pulpit. And if it is false, you will be affected. If it is triviality, you will be affected. If it is baby stuff or salvation gospel truth, you will be affected. Not only now, but the worst thing you'll be affected was at the judgment seat of Christ. There you'll have cause to realize that you never grasped what life was all about as a Christian, so you never got around to your mission, and your life has been wasted. We do not want that to happen to you. So we remind you that this church in the city of Laodicea, recorded for us in Revelation 3, 14 through 22, was a genuine church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It had people who were born again. But it is an example of church-age believers who had been robbed of the prize which accompanies salvation that is spoken of in Galatians 2:18. When you get the package of salvation, there's a great prize. It's like when you buy a box of Cracker Jacks. The only important thing is what the prize is at the top of the box. That's what you tear open to find. It comes with the package. But when you had the package of salvation, is a great prize. These people lost it. And every one of us as Christians is under the gun of having that thing taken from us. Because that's the main purpose of Satan toward you. The church age spiritual power system for living a holy life and for divine good works to store treasures of rewards in heaven, that's the prize which comes with the salvation package. The Jewish people never could really live a holy life. It all depended on themselves, and their sin nature kept tripping them up. They had no power from God to do what was right. Well, they knew what the right was, but they couldn't beat the game. And from to serve God, there was no Holy Spirit power. There was no Holy Spirit enablement, because the Holy Spirit did not indwell them. He would come upon them periodically, and then he would leave them for certain purposes. But it was so different than what it is today. It is a real prize to be able to walk like God, to be able to be the holiness of God himself, because he does it for us. Church age believers have God's power through the filling of the Holy Spirit to do the morally right thing and to obey the will of God in their life mission in Christian service. We have no excuse to be poor people in heaven, devoid of treasures of rewards. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh, the sin nature. Could not say that to a Jew in the Old Testament Mosaic Law system. You couldn't say to him, walk by the Spirit. He didn't have the Holy Spirit in him to be guiding him. He didn't have what he needed to beat the sin nature. But that is true for you and for me. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the mission. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Those good works is our life mission. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, their love in the Holy Spirit, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you might be filled with the knowledge, the epinosis, by the way, the full knowledge that is doctrinal truth that you have said, amen. I will choose to do it. As we pointed out, these magnificent titles at the banquet that certain people had because they went with the Word. That you would be filled with the full knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Again, increasing with the doctrine stored in your human spirit, strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, and joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. The prize. To share in the prize of the inheritance of grace. One more. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. you can enjoy the prize of spiritual power, or you can ignore it and waste your whole life. A life lived in the devil's world based on self-effort and sincere good intentions, as was the case under the Mosaic Law way of life, has no divine power or enablement to succeed. It only tells us what ought to be. There's no doubt that the Mosaic Law says this is the way you should be, but it did not enable you to do it. The sin nature, the flesh, always undermined it. Romans 8, 3 and 4 points that out. For it says, what the law, the Mosaic Law, could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, the sin nature, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the requirements of the law, what the law said ought to be, might be fulfilled in us, we Christians, who do not walk according to the sin nature, but according to the Holy Spirit. We could do what they could not. Now the spiritual prize, the power prize of Colossians 2:18 is the result of being placed into Christ by the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which every believer experiences at the point of salvation. Colossians chapter 12, verse 13 points this out. By one Spirit, by one Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and were all made to drink of one Spirit, all filled with the Spirit. Now, this is our position in Christ. This is our potential prize. And the benefits of it is turned on and off by carnality. The Mosaic Law system and the Church Age Grace system are opposite lifestyles for the people of God. Law brings spiritual defeat. Grace brings spiritual victory. Christians who fall into a carnal lifestyle governed by the old sin nature fall into spiritual reversionism, and they become victims of the sin nature, of the world system, and of Satan. That was the condition of the Laodiceans. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Peter says, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. Satan is always out to trip you up. Oh, he's not going to drag many of you into gross sin. You're not that type. You wouldn't appeal. That wouldn't appeal to you. But he can really pull you down by getting you tied up with the trivialities of life, and you forget your orientation to have your eyes on Christ and the things above. That's where he'll get you. And pretty soon you will drift off into the world system, but you are not his slave. You enable him to bring you down. Be of a sober spirit, on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, is looking for a chance. You don't give him a chance, he cannot bring you down. He's a prowling lion. And resist him. God would not tell you to resist the devil if you couldn't. In the Old Testament, that was a problem. Firm in your faith. Firm in your confidence in the principles of the Word of God. And while Christians suffer, you betcha, there is a stride that one can hit in that suffering, and that's the way it should be. Compare this to James chapter 4, verse 7. James says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. See, that you are not a victim of Satan. You choose to go with it. The Christians in the Laodicean church were lukewarm. They were indifferent to separation from the lifestyle of Satan's world, and they were indifferent to investing their lives in God's service as His witnesses and His stewards. Stewards of the material treasures that He had entrusted to them. They were entirely self-oriented. They did not have their eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ as the Amen, the faithful witness, and the Creator in the Godhead. The Laodicean believers were a country club church who thought more highly of themselves than they should have. It was all based on their wealth, all based on their social standing, and all based upon the power that they exercised in the community over other people. And they thought that that made them something special with God. But their blind, lukewarm indifference to godly living and the Christian service made these Christians nauseating to God the Father, who promised to vomit them out of His blessings and to discipline them. The view of the Laodiceans themselves was that they were rich, wealthy, and in need of nothing. That was human viewpoint. But the view of the Lord Jesus Christ of them was that they were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That was divine viewpoint. Satan will trip you up if you think more highly of yourself than you ought to. The advice of Jesus Christ to the spiritually disoriented Laodiceans was to buy certain things from Him to correct their spiritual reversionism and shameful appearance. And the money with which they would buy these things from Christ was faith in the Word of God, believing what He was telling them. First of all, He told them to buy gold, the gold of church age doctrine, as wisdom purified by the holiness of God, so they could become truly rich. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 18. I advise you to buy from Me gold refined by fire, by the holiness of God. What is He telling them? Where are you going to buy this gold? Where are you going to go to buy the gold of doctrine? Church age realities. You're going to attend an expository preaching ministry. There you will find the mind of God. That's how you buy the gold of divine viewpoint. Please remember this. Amazing how many Christians never understand this. Any material wealth which a Christian possesses is not genuine riches if he cannot take it with him to heaven when he dies. Whatever wealth you have, whatever possessions you have, they are not wealth unless you can take it to heaven. No matter how big your bank account, no matter how big your investment reserves, it isn't riches. It's not wealth unless you can take it to heaven with you. Because if you can't take it to heaven, Peter says that all these things are going to be burned up and turned back into the elements out of which they were made. Now that's an important point. If you learned that this morning, it was worth coming to church. Never look upon what you have and say, I'm well off. No, you're not. You're only well off if you can take that to heaven with you. And obviously, there has to be a transition of those material things as storage treasures in heaven. These possessions are all that you have, and they're all, this wealth is nothing but possessions unless you can take it with you. Luke chapter 12, a very classic example of not being able to take it with you. Luke chapter 12, verses 15 through 21. Jesus said, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist in his possessions. You see, that's true. Your wealth is not what you have unless you're going to take it to heaven. And you have to convert it into a form that you can take it with you. Foolish! to have great opportunity to take great wealth and not convert it. Verse 16. And Jesus told them a parable, saying, spiritual illustration. The land of a certain rich man was very productive. He began reasoning to himself, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? I have so much. I'm so wealthy. He said, this is what I will do. I'll turn down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. This poor man operated on the principle of get what you can all you get. And the result was, it never occurred to him, man, I can't even stuff the things I have into the barns I have. I can't even store my wealth anymore. I can hardly keep up with all the money I have. I've got every box at home stuffed and every safety deposit box in the bank is stuffed. My assets are enormous. It never occurred to this man. Israel is filled with poor people. Israel is filled with widows and orphans. Israel is filled with people that you can now help in a tremendous way. It never occurred to him to say, I will contact the authorities and have them take all this surplus and take care in this theocracy in which we live, take care of those who are poor. For indeed, that's what Jesus said, that the widows and the orphans and the poor should be cared for. And he could have done it because it's not a socialist system where the government does it. It's the individual believer that does it. It never occurred to this man to say to the priesthood, I have more than enough. You priests, you Levites, you have no land. You can't earn anything. All the other tribes have a plot of land, and every family has an assigned land. And if they sell it 50 years down the line in the year of Jubilee, their heirs, whoever are alive at the time, get the land all back. Goes back into the family possession. So you can never sell your land beyond that 50-year period, the year of Jubilee. How much your land is worth, you look at the calendar, you say, oh, 2 years to Jubilee, then I have to give this land back to the original family, and you don't get paid for it, you just give it back. So you say, I'll pay you this much because I can only use it for 2 years. And this man could have said, I want to help the priesthood. The priests have families. The priests would like to have some good things in their lives. They get things from the sacrifices. They do get to use the animals which are being sacrificed. God has provided for them, but they are in the service of God. And the care of our temple. Take my surplus. Let's make the ministry there better that we operate with the facilities. Why should I build something better for myself when our religious facilities need some improvement and care? He didn't do that. Verse 19, I'll say to my soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? You see, he could have taken the whole crops with him had he done the first thing I said. Had he put it in God's work. Had he put it in the service of the Lord. Didn't do that. So the question was, tonight you're going to die. Now who's going to have all these crops? You're not rich. If you could take all these crops with you because you had put them into God's work, you really would be rich in heaven. So is the man who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Verse 31 of Luke 12. But seek for his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Then there's another sobering passage, and it's Matthew 6. Buy the gold, Jesus says to the Laodiceans. They had the wealth. They were like the rich man. They had everything. But they didn't know how to take it with them. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, your love, that's where your heart will be. Where your treasure is, my treasure is in heaven, then that's where I'm going to convert my material goods by putting them into the service of God and sending them up ahead. Yes, you can take it with you, but you have to convert it into the proper transmitting form to begin with. So here Jesus is telling him to do a very practical thing. Take the gold of the Word of God that you have. You have grace salvation. You have potential of a grace power system. This prize you have lost by your carnality. Now get back to buying the preciousness of the reality of the Word of God. Stop doing other things on Sunday and get out to the church services and receive the gold of church age truth. The advice of Jesus Christ continues now to the Laodiceans on how to correct their nauseous condition with the second thing that they should do. First of all, verse 18, buy the gold. Secondly, they need to buy white raiment. The money for this, again, is believing the Word of God, believing church age doctrinal principles. They're to buy white garment. White is the color of purity, holiness. The Laodiceans are to secure something which is holy. Oh, they got plenty of garments. They got plenty of the latest fashions that they're wearing. But those are not holy garments. They're just things. What they are to receive, he says, are the garments. And this refers, this Greek word tells us a little more about the kind of garment. It's called the himation, H-I-M-A-T-I-O-N, and that means the mantle that's thrown over the undergarments. It is what people see. It is that which the Laodiceans are to secure, a holy garment that people will see. And they're to buy this from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a spiritual covering. And why? Well, he's there to buy this, he says, this particular holy garment, so that they may clothe themselves. And the word clothing tells us a little more about the style of this garment. It's called a periballo. Peri means around, ballo means to throw. So it means something to cast around yourself like a cape. Jesus Christ declares that the Laodiceans were naked. All they had was their underwear. They thought they were fashion plates. Jesus saw the Laodicean Christians in their true condition of spiritual nakedness. And that's what counts in eternity. So while people might be impressed with how stylish you are every Sunday that they see you, God is not impressed with the garments that he sees that are really significant, your spiritual covering. Revelation chapter 19, verse 8, has a very important point about these garments. Revelation 19:8 says, and it was given to her, to the church, to the individual believers of the church age to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, holiness of God, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And it is plural. It is the righteousnesses of the saints. So there's the material out of which you make your garment that you're going to show up in heaven. The garment will be made out of your divine good service. Your acts of righteousness in fulfilling your mission. That is what will make up the garment that you are clothed with. The lifestyle of godliness. Personal sanctification. That's the material out of which you cut the garment. Divine good works produced by the Holy Spirit to fulfill Ephesians 2:10 mission. That's what you make the garments out of. So when he says to buy this special garment, a holy garment that you can throw about yourself to cover yourself so that you're not standing there just in the undergarments, a white garment that you may clothe yourself, and this white because it is the holiness of God. It's not all those carnality things that dress us. It is the godly things. That's what dresses us. Now, you know that we pointed out that Laodicea was a city that was known for its black wool. Special kind of sheep, had a lovely black wool. Black woolen cloth was desired all over the empire. And it was symbolic here of the carnal lifestyle of the congregation Laodicea. But the Laodiceans viewed themselves as good Christians, and that they looked really good. Instead of the white garments of divine righteousness, which is the only garment that you can wear in heaven, in daily living they wore the black garments of the smug, self-centered carnality of the world system. They had religion, but they did not have relationship with Christ. It is a terrible thing, then, for a believer to be insensitive or indifferent to his own evil ways, because that's the garment that you're making for yourself. In the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were dressed in what Isaiah 64:6 says are just filthy rags. The Laodicean Christians, therefore, are to repent of their reversionism. They're to clothe themselves in a sanctified lifestyle and just pay a little attention, for heaven's sakes, to the service to God that you can perform. Pay a little attention to meditation upon reading the Word of God. Pay a little attention to having fellowship with Christians so you're not walking and rubbing shoulders all the time with the world system and all the crummy, depressive, degradating qualities that that imposes on you. That's why the banquet Friday night was so magnificent. And people came from such a distance because of the fellowship to step aside and be in the presence of the godliness of people in this terrible evil age who understand where the world and where history is going. It helps keep our heads screwed on straight. If you don't think that's true, I think you're going to find that was a very bad mistake. The Laodicean Christians are to repent, and they're to confess, they're to get back on track in their service. They're to buy sanctification. It's in the middle voice, this verb. That means they do it for themselves. But its subjunctive mode means they might do it or they might not do it. A lot of Christians don't care about designing a garment of righteousness. Now, why do you want this kind of garment? Well, verse 18, so that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. The idea is the shame. This word connotes humiliation. Now, the Laodiceans found this a hard word to impose upon them. They were proud in their arrogance of their carnality, when in fact they stood in a position of humiliation. They weren't They weren't ashamed of everything. They felt that they were just great people. But when God looked at them, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "You're all gumnos. G-U-M-N-O-S. You're all naked." This is a word, no clothing. Public nudity by God's standard is a shameful thing. You may read about this in Genesis 9:20 through 23, where Noah became drunk and lay there naked in his tent. And his son Ham made fun of the old man. The other two sons said, "No, that's a shameful thing. And we should not treat our father with that disrespect." And the two boys took and put a robe over their backs, and they went in backwards and covered their father as he lay there, so they did not view him in his shameful nudity. Are people ashamed of nudity in our society today? Not likely. They think it's really cute and cool. Well, this is what Jesus said to these people. And I mean, they had everything in life on a material sense, and they were born again people. He said to them, spiritually, "You're plumb naked." And public nudity after the fall in Eden became a major factor to our day, which has led to sexual immorality. Public nudity leads to that. This word is sometimes used to describe one who is only wearing his undergarments. This is an interesting thing. The word nudity is also for just being in your undergarments, which is near nudity. John chapter 21, verse 7, this word is used. The disciples have been fishing, and Jesus comes along. They recognize him, and that disciple, therefore, whom Jesus loved, that is John, said to his friend Peter, that the man who's talking to them on the shore, it's the Lord. And so when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, or he was nude. It's the same Greek word, and he threw himself into the sea. He had stripped down to his underwear to work hauling in the fish. So he puts on his outer garment, jumps in the water so he could swim to the shore to the Lord. Now the Laodicean Christians were therefore walking around in their spiritual underwear. Spiritual underwear is salvation by the grace of God. They did have that righteousness. But the garment that they were going to cover themselves with was their own works of divine good righteousness. They had the covering of salvation righteousness, but they had no experiential sanctification covering. And when you get up to heaven, it is going to be that way. A lot of Christians are going to be walking around in their underwear up there. Salvation. That's great. You need that righteousness. But the rewarded ones will be walking around with magnificent garments that have been the product of their faithfulness and their divine good service. It is a shameful sight to see a Christian walking about without the clothing of experiential sanctification. It is not a nice sight. And we see that happen all the time at all age levels. And all of a sudden, some Christian gets into deep trouble. He can be a youth, he can be an adult. It's always because he has permitted a hole, or to his experiential sanctification to become shredded. So he's walking around in the undergarment of salvation. He's covered with that, but he has no experiential sanctification out of which to make a holy garment to walk before the Lord. And so that garment is important now. When some Christian stumbles and is tripped up by Satan because he is not in the right uniform of the day. If you've ever been in the military service, you know what it means to have the word passed out with the uniform of the day. The uniform of the day, when it's posted, by heaven, you better wear that uniform. That is the accepted clothing, nothing else. And it is like that with God. You are to walk about experiential sanctification garments that you will take to heaven. And you build that experiential sanctification garment with what you do with your material things. That's the connection. So don't be too quick to say, oh, sure, I've got experiential garments. I got lots of that good works material. Not too fast. You better be very careful about how much your eyes are on things below and not on the things that God has for you to do. Ananias and Sapphira. Classic example. Two people were saved. No experiential garments of sanctification. Just the undergarments of salvation. And here, we do this, it says, so that your lack of covering would not be revealed. The Greek word is phanero'o. Phanero'o. Phanero'o means manifested to public view. And our garments of righteousness indicate our true character. The Laodiceans then are being worn, that they're in the undergarments of salvation righteousness, but they are spiritually naked in their outer garments of righteousness in God's service. And this is a passive condition. They can't say they're something they're not. They can't pretend that they're something they're not. It is something that they cannot hide. But it is, again, that subjective mode. You choose to do it or you ignore it. What a sight to see Christians going in the Lord's presence in nothing but their spiritual undergarments at the judgment seat of Christ. Personal sanctification. That was the clothing that the Laodiceans lacked. And Jesus said, that's a very, very shameful condition. And it is one which they simply were not sensitive. And then he says, you need to buy one thing more from me. You need some eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. These people were spiritually blind as a bat at Laodicea. Christians, but blind. And he said, you need to buy from me also by your positive volition to the Word of God an eye salve so that you can anoint your eyes. The word anoint looks like this. Engchrio, E-G-C-H-R-I-O. Engchrio means to rub in, to be smeared. It's a something that will heal spiritual blindness. It's a medication for spiritual blindness. There was a very serious problem in the ancient world with eyes. We suspect that one of the reasons the Apostle Paul in one of his letters says, you see with what large handwriting I write this, we suspect that that was one of the things that was a problem for him. He has physical problems, and eyesight was one of them. And here it is. These people needed to have something to anoint their eyes so that their spiritual sight would be brought into focus. Their eyes, the physical organs, were used for spiritual vision in a symbolic sense. They had eyes to see on the earth, but they were missing the realities of spiritual things. This concept of being able to see spiritual things is in Ephesians chapter 1. Notice verses 17, 18. Ephesians 1, 17, 18, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, full knowledge again, and I pray that the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your mentality may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches, the prize of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. If you don't have this, you will not have an appreciation for what you have in the package of salvation. This word, enchreo, this word that is to anoint the eyes, is also used in Matthew 13:15. Matthew 13:15, it's for the heart of the people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I should heal them. If you go spiritually blind, you're in a very bad condition. The consequences of lacking eyes of spiritual insight are eternal in nature. It will result in you not having a garment of experiential righteousness to wear, and you will not have the rewards in heaven. What does it take? It takes what he calls eye salve. This was made sort of like a lipstick. It was a form of it. It was compacted into a little roll. And it was called a kurion. This is a medical word. K-O-L-L-O-U-R-I-O-N. Kurion refers to a cylindrical shape, and the background of the word comes from what was called a tephrophrygia. This was a medical product. It was an eye powder which was developed in Laodicean Medical School, for they had a medical school there. And this eye powder was very popular because of the problem that people had with eye infections in very unsanitary conditions often. So this powder was mixed with a grease or oil, and then it was rolled into a tight little cylinder like a lipstick, and then it was applied to the eyes. The Lord Jesus Christ had this medication for their eyes so that their spiritual discernment will come back. The Laodiceans have been blinded by carnality, and their eyesight will come back when the Word of God is applied. Is this real? It's real. This is not just inspirational talk. It is for real. So there we are. These people, who thought they were everything because they had wealth, and they did, and they had their eyes on things below, and they had status in the community, and they had good clothes, and they could go to any restaurant they wanted, and they thought that God was blessing them. Jesus said, all you are, you think you're a fashion plate, but you're walking around in spiritual underwear of righteousness of salvation. But you have no garment to cover that up. So I advise you to do this. Three things you need to buy from me to get back out of your reversionism. Gold, that is the Word of God, refined by the omniscience of God. Then you'll be a rich person. And white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, the shame of your nakedness would be hidden, your righteousnesses, your godly life, and your Christian service, and the eye salve to anoint your eyes, confession of known sins, and positive volition to the Word of God, so that you can see the truth. You can see yourself as you are. There are going to be multiplied numbers of people, I can guarantee you, at the judgment seat of Christ, who will wonder what ever possessed them to have missed the point when they sat here in Berean Church and they heard these things laid out from the Word of God and the order of things. And they say, yeah, that's nice, but not for me. You cannot have a foot in God's camp and a foot in the world's camp. Forget it. You're a fool to think that. The world's camp will always win out. That's what happened in Laodicea. Christians going to heaven, yes. But all they had was the garment of that God gave them of absolute righteousness. But how they dressed themselves in their spiritual service, nothing. And that's why there will be tears in heaven that Jesus will have to wipe away. You want to cry then?